Psalm 18. We finished our study of the book of Judges. We are gearing up for a study in the New Testament letter of Galatians. But in the weeks between, we will study a few Psalms. Psalm 18 today. That's because the last time we studied a Psalm, it was Psalm 17. So we honor our commitment to teach the Word of God consecutively and expositionally, drawing the meaning out of the text, not taking my meaning and applying it to the text, but drawing the meaning out of the text. That's what expositional preaching means. We let God determine the meaning, not us. I want to give a hearty amen to what Russ said about the offerings. We are commanded in Scripture to give back to the Lord a portion of that which He has given to us. God doesn't tell us how much to give in the New Testament, but He does tell us we should give. He has blessed us, and so we need to return to Him that which He's given to us. If you're not in the habit, start small. I remember Brenda Farmer. A lot of you remember Brenda Farmer. In fact, she's doing well. She's in a nursing home down in the south central part of the U.S., Indiana. And she calls occasionally, and she sounds well. But she fixed income, very little to live on, but she was faithful of giving a portion of that which you gave her. So if the widow in the New Testament is commended for her giving, we need to also give. Susan and I have upped our giving a little bit this year. And so as God has blessed you, be faithful and return to Him what is legitimately, as Russ said, His in the first place, right? He can take it all away. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. So instead of Him taking it away from you, why don't you give it back to Him, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this time and our service dedicated to reading and applying and learning from Your Word. Pray, Lord, that You give me compassion, a clarity of mind, Lord, to communicate the truths that are contained in this portion of God's Word. We thank You, Lord, that You do take care of us, and You hear our cry for help, and You always come to our aid, always come to our side. Remind us of that this morning, and may we become a little bit more like Your Savior, our Savior, Your Son, Jesus Christ, at the conclusion of this service. This I pray in Christ's name, amen. Psalm 18. It's the fourth longest psalm of the Psalms. Does anybody know what the longest psalm is? Yeah, 119. That's got 172 verses. But then there's another psalm, 78. And then another psalm, 89. And then Psalm 18. It's got 50 verses. And we're not afraid of long passages, are we? Judges prove that. Curious detail about Psalm 18. It is also found in 2 Samuel 22. I would ask you to turn to 2 Samuel 22. Almost word for word, there are a few variations in the order of the words. Some words are left out. But Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22 are the same psalm of praise that David offers up. In 2 Samuel 22, we find out that it was at the end of his life, because Psalm 23 says these are the last words of David. So 2 Samuel 22 relays what I'm going to read here in Psalm 18. So if you want to remain there in 2 Samuel 22, that's up to you. Maybe you can compare and see how closely it comes to what I'm going to read in Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Would you stand out of honor for God's word? It's 50 verses. We've done this before. If your legs get tired, if your back is hurting, sit down, that's fine. Psalm 18. These are the very words of God. To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord who addressed the words of the song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountain trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on the cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through the clouds. The Lord also thundered in heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of the many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands, or cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and am not wickedly departed from God. For all of his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure, and with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp, the Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all of those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back until they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was no one to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and who subdued peoples unto me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. This is God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for following along with me. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, once again, we come humbly before you because this is your word. We have a personal, intimate testimony of how you rescued David over and over again, and how you delivered him from all of his enemies, and how you bestowed up him honor and glory and strength. Lord, and we know that David is just a foreshadowing of a much better David, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been bestowed kingdoms and glory and honor. And one day we will all worship at his throne. Lord, we look forward to that day when in heaven we will all bow down and proclaim him king over all. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you've been coming to Sunday school, and shame on you if you haven't, Jim has been leading us in a study of the Old Testament. And we happen to be in 1 Samuel. And we've been there for several weeks. And we've been learning how God has been delivering David from the hands of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David has been on the run from Saul for about 15 years. His life was continually in danger. He was God's anointed king, but he had not yet assumed the throne. And Saul hated him. He despised him. He wanted David to die. In 1 Samuel 20, David declares to Saul's son, who happened to be his best friend. Anybody know the name of David's best friend? Jonathan. And this was what he said to Jonathan. He says, Jonathan, there is only one step between me and death. And in Psalms 18, these are the experiences that David is referring to in this song of praise. Some of the most well-known accounts of God's deliverance of David are the story of David and Goliath, David and the bear, and David and the lion. But there are so many more enemies in David's life. And if you read 1 Samuel this afternoon, starting from about chapter 15 to the end, it's an interesting passage, interesting accounts of God's deliverance of his servant David. And this psalm is David's response to God's deliverance. How does David respond to God's deliverance? He responds in praise. Exuberant, vigorous praise. And he shouts out in verse 1, I love you, Lord. This is the only time that word love is used, that Hebrew word, love, is used in the Old Testament. It's a unique word. It's an intense but an intimate expression of his tender affection and compassion towards the Lord, towards Yahweh, towards Jehovah. Just like in the parable that Russ read at the beginning of the service about the prostitute who loved Jesus intensely, so much so that she wiped his feet with her tears and hair and poured out an expensive flask of alabaster. David also loves the Lord intensely, because not because his sins were forgiven, certainly because of that, but in this context, it's because that God had rescued him. God had delivered him repeatedly from the jaws of death. And David wants his song leader to know this type of love, and he wants them to teach the congregation how much he loves the Lord God Almighty. Listen to how David describes God in verse 2. 9 different words that David uses to describe God. Rock, fortress, deliverer, God, rock again, but it's another Hebrew word. It's not the same English word. Refuge, shield, horn of my salvation, and stronghold. David's love of the Lord is driven by what he knows to be true about the Lord, what he knows to be true about Jehovah. It's intensely personal in nature. He isn't a distant God. He isn't a local deity. Look on how David describes this God. He always uses the personal pronoun, my rock, my God, my shield, my fortress, my deliverer, my stronghold. When death came knocking at his door through the hands of his enemy, David finds help. David finds security. David finds a safe place. David finds courage in the Lord God Almighty. And he repeats it over and over again. Verse 3 summarizes his feelings. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Do you see the certainty and conviction here of David? He doesn't call on God because he knows God can save. He doesn't call on God because he knows God can save others. He calls on God because he knows God will save himself. I am saved from my enemies. And David wants subsequent readers, especially his first congregation there in Israel, his subjects, to experience that certainty and to sing along with David about who God is. And he wants us to know this morning that we can sing, I love you, Lord, because you are my strength. I love you, Lord, because you are my stronghold. I love you, Lord, because you are my salvation. This is poetic literature. So David is going to use very flowery words, poetic language. We already learned this morning that when David was with Jonathan, he shared with Jonathan that his life was just one step away from death. That's not poetic, that's just sort of basic prose. But look how he describes that same feeling that he had in verse 4. Look at the poetry. The cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. That's poetic language for I'm just one step away from death, Jonathan. David wants the congregation, he wants his choir master to feel what he's feeling and what comes next. Because in verse 6, he says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord to my God. I cried for help, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." So David is not finished describing to the congregation God's response to his cry. He's just beginning. He has cried to God for help. And now he will express God's response to David's prayer, to David's cry. They did reach his ears in heaven, but not only this, look at how God reacts to the cries of his anointed king, David, as he experiences these trials and tribulations and dangers of life. Look how God moves heaven and earth when he hears David's cry for help. Verse 7. This is God's response to finding out that his servant, his anointed, the one in whom he delights, is in trouble, whose life is in danger because of wicked, evil, haughty men. This is how God responds to David. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also, the mountain trembled and quaked because he was angry. Who's God angry at? He's not angry at David. He's angry at those who are plotting to kill his servant David. Smoke went out from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from his mouth. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. Thick clouds dark with water. This is God responding to David's cry for help. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coal of fire broke through his clouds. God is moving heaven and earth to be there and rescue David. Verse 13, the Lord also thundered in heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent forth on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemies and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support, and he brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. No wonder David begins this song by crying out to God in praise, I love you, Lord. Just like that woman in her love of Jesus poured out alabaster and wiped his feet with her hair, tears and hair. God is angry at those who threaten his anointed. And God comes down swiftly from heaven to answer his prayer and execute justice on David's enemies. Now, did these events actually happen in the life of David, or is David reciting in his mind things that he has heard about God's deliverance in the past? Well, we don't have any written record of any of these things happening in David's life. But we do have a written record of how God acted for his people when they left Egypt. A lot of these descriptions in these few verses describe God in his rescue of the Jews from the hands of the Egyptians. God is quick to rescue his servant from danger. And God wants Or David wants his people, his congregation, to know the mighty hand of God for Israel. God does rescue his people, and he will move literally heaven and earth to do it. Think about the next time you pray, and you cry out to God, what God is doing in response to your prayer. You might not see lightning, but that's the idea. God is moving. David uses another term here to describe himself. He is the one in whom God delights. And this next section might bother you just a little bit. It did me when I first read it. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Does that bother you? It sure seems like David is stating that he is justified before God because of his own righteousness, doesn't it? According to the cleanness of my hands, you rewarded me. According to the keeping of thy ways, the ways of the Lord, according to me not putting away your statutes, before him I was blameless. That's why he rescued me. It's true, that's why he's rescued me. But when you read the Bible, that's why you read it in the context of all of Scripture. You use Scripture to interpret Scripture. And if anything, you've learned this in the last 10 years that I've been here, that no man is justified before God based upon his own works, his own righteousness. David himself said that in Psalm 14. He says, there is no one that is good. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So when David is talking here, he's not talking about his final righteousness before God in the ultimate sense. Scripture is abundantly clear that no one can be declared ultimately righteous because of his adherence to the law. But that certainly appears what David is saying. We're going to start a study in the book of Galatians. But let me read to you from Galatians chapter 2. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified, not even David. David understands that. He's a theologian. He understands that our works cannot save us ultimately in the sight of God. But he also understands the importance of God's children keeping God's word. Remember what's going on in David's life at this point. Evil, wicked, proud, arrogant men are trying to kill him. They're planning ways to kill him. But David is righteous in all of this. His cause is just. His hands are clean in this matter. And if you look at the life of David, you can see that to be true. Did David have sin? Yes, he did. But when his life was threatened, he acted righteously before God. Just read the accounts of Absalom. Read the accounts when he had the opportunity several times to kill Saul. He righteously said, I will not lift up my hand against God's anointed. Remember Shimei cursing at David? He had the chance to kill him, but no, he says no. So David is not saying I am perfectly righteous, but in these causes where my life is threatened, I have acted righteously. I have trusted in God. In these situations, I am God's standard for righteousness for Israel. Not ultimate righteous, but righteousness for those who are treated unfairly. And if you begin to go read the Old Testament, and I think you've probably already read most of it this year, you will remember that when they list the kings in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they have a measuring stick on whether or not a king was good and righteous. What was that measuring stick? David. Or who was that measuring stick? David. If they walked in the ways of the Lord, if they did what was righteous, they said, he walked in the way of his father David. Let me read to you just one of the many passages in 2 Chronicles. And the king did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. This is Scripture's, the Holy Spirit's assessment of David. And the Holy Spirit's assessment of David lines up with David's assessment of himself in Psalms 18. I take God's word seriously, and God rewards it for me. David, in the midst of his temporal trials, acted righteously, and God listened to him because of it and delivered him out of his trials. And David explains how God can do that. Look at the next words in Psalm 18:25. How can God do that? Because with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure, and with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp, the Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true, and he is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. And when God looks at David's situation, the fact that God is who he is and David is acting rightly, David can count on God to deliver him. And God not only delivers him, he rewards him. His ways are perfect, and he is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. No wonder David begins this psalm with, I love you, Lord. And that brings us to the last section, beginning in verse 30. In verses 30 to the end of the chapter, David describes what God has done for him as king, seated on the throne. Because this time of tribulation and darkness in his life, where he's fleeing for his life on a daily basis, ends, and God seats him on the throne. And David begins to describe what God has rewarded him with. He knows God's ways are completely true, and he recognizes that the Lord had given him strength and success and greatness and stability and victories. But what has God given him? He has given him an eternal kingdom. Let me read. This is God, verse 30. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He's a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? The God who equipped me in strength made me my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer, and he set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your greatness made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not sleep. Look what God has rewarded him with. Verse 37, I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back till they were consumed. He gave them victories. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. He was able to defeat his enemies. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. Start thinking how David prefigures and shadows the Lord Jesus Christ, who will have ultimate victory over all of his enemies. Verse 40. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help. Remember, David cried for help, and the Lord delivered him. But his enemies cried for help, but there was no one to save. God turned his back on David's enemies, although he did not do that with David. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. He was up in heaven, and he did not choose to move heaven and earth. Verse 42. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like mires of the street. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of nations. People whom I had not known served me. Look at the honor and the power and the authority given to David. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of the fortresses. Look at the honor bestowed upon David. The Lord lives. And this is a song we used to sing. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted God of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and subdued people under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the hand of violence. No wonder he begins the psalm with, I love you, Lord. For this I praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing your name. Great salvation he brings to his king. And shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. This psalm is written by David about the situations in his life, but it's also a messianic song because it speaks of Christ. Think of the multiple times that God delivered Jesus from death in his earthly life. But you say, but then you're saying, oh, but yeah, but he died. Yes, he did die. But God delivered Jesus from death too. Through what? Through his resurrection. And where is God now? He's seated on the throne, and he will return, and the kingdom of this world will become his. God has given Jesus Christ a name far better than David, a name that is above all name, and one day every knee shall bow, not just the nations surrounding Israel. Every knee on earth will bow and declare him to be King of kings and Lord of lords. Next time you're going through some difficult times in your life and you cry out to God, this same God that rescued David will rescue you. Maybe not in the same manner, but he will rescue you with the same amount of force, with the same urgency, and you will at the end see your deliverance and praise him forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for this psalm that is a snapshot of the feelings of David has for the Lord God Almighty. May this become our song, our reality too, Lord. May we be able to sing with David, I love you, Lord. This I pray in Christ's name, amen. You may stand as we sing this last.
There are quite a few songs we